It's always a privilege to be part of the Midrash Yom Rishon program. Not only because of the delicious pastries that are outside and the yummy coffee, but because it's really testimony to the fact that the best part of waking up is Torah in your cup. A person who is involved in the Jewish publication industry recently shared with me the fact that he has new meaning into the feeling we all have, there's nothing like Shabbos. Because, unfortunately, with the plethora of electronic media that replace traditional books, the book market is so much smaller than it used to be. Amazon Kindle, Kindle Fire, iPad, iPod are some of the ways that technology unfortunately makes us replace the feeling of having leaves in our hands. But Baruch Hashem, for the Jewish publication industry, there is not yet a way that has been halakhically sanctioned to have an iPad when you curl up with a good book on your couch on Friday night. So at least one day out of the seven, perhaps the most common day that people read, at least we have to read books. But he explains to me that even with the need to have books, the Jewish publication industry, which focuses on big volumes, is still under fire from the other side. There's so many different periodicals that come out. Dailies, weeklies, monthlies, that have uniquely Jewish content. It's sometimes hard to sell a book when you can buy a magazine for a smaller price and which might be more timely. All these issues bring to the forefront, perhaps more than any other generation, the issue of shemos. There's so many things that are used once and meant to be disposed of. But if there's Jewish content, if there's Torah or words of the sages, it's a very serious question as far as the proper way to dispose of it. On a different note, unfortunately, with the new understanding we have in the greater New York area of Mashiv HaRuach U'Marid HaGeshem, the one that makes the winds blow, the tides surge, and the rain fall, there have been communities that have specifically needed to reassess their treatment of shemos, because so much, unfortunately, has been created recently. Things that would otherwise be pristine works to learn from, which were washed away and unfortunately rendered unusable by the recent events of the storm. So what is the proper approach we have to shemos? We usually know that shemos are something that we have to treat with reverence, we perhaps put in geniza. But what's the halacha? Which things are considered shemos? What's the proper way to approach shemos? And are there any leniencies in today's day and age to help us better deal with the issue of shemos? Before we continue, can everyone hear me? Okay, Ladi, can you hear me in the back? Everyone can hear? Okay, on all sides? Thank you. On the Marma Kamos, which we'll discuss if they're shemos or not, the very first source, the Chumash tells us, when we're Zocha, when we're privileged to enter Eretz Yisrael as a nation, after a sojourn in the wilderness, says the Torah, make sure, when we enter Eretz Yisrael, to obliterate every single trace of Avodah Zarah. Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Gimel, the first part of Source 1, the Ibadatem, Eshimam Benamakom Hohu. Destroy their name from that place. Completely obliterate Avodah Zarah. Don't just not worship it. Burn the idols. Destroy their texts. Get rid of every vestige of Avodah Zarah. But very interestingly, the next pasuk continues, pasuk Dalid, Lo Sa'asun Kein La'ashem Elokeichem. Don't do so to Hashem, your God. Think of the contrast. Destroy Avodah Zarah. Don't destroy Hashem. Says the Gemara, source 2, Maseches Makos, the Chof Beis Amud Aleph. A person gets lashes. A person is in violation of an Avera Min HaTorah. One of the 613 mitzvot is that we are prohibited from destroying God's name. Hamochek es Hashem, one who erases God's name, gets makos, gets lashes. V'azharte mehacha, and the prohibition is from this pasuk. V'ibadetem es shemam, destroy their names, the names of the idols, and is juxtaposed to lo sasun kein l'Hashem elokeichem. Do not do so to Hashem, your God. It's quite clear that if one were to take a piece of paper that has one of God's names written on it and destroy it, one is in violation of a biblical prohibition. Lo sasun kein, do not do so in the name of Hashem. This is codified by the Rambam in source 3. The Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei Torah, towards the very beginning of Mishnah Torah, says the Rambam, Kol ha-ma'aveid shem, whoever destroys a name, min ha-shemos ha-kadoshim ha-tahorim, from any of the names which are sacred and pure, shenikra b'hem ha-kadosh baruch hu, that the Holy One, blessed be He, is called, loke min ha-torah. Gets makos min ha-torah. It's a biblical prohibition. Sherehu omer, because it says, v'avodas kachavim, with idolatrous practice, v'ibadetem es shema min ha-makom ha-hu. Destroy their name. And then it says, Lasasun Kain Lashem Elotechem. Do not do so to Hashem, your God. Quite clear, no one disagrees with this halacha, from the Gemara to the Rambam, that the most literal meaning of Shemos, God's name specifically, must be treated with reverence, and if one were to destroy it, one would be in violation of halacha min ha-Torah, avera min ha-Torah, to destroy Hashem's name. The question is, what exactly does it mean? Shemos, names. Which names of God? Think back to the most recent time you davened. There are many names we say that refer to Hashem. We have Baruch Atah Hashem, the most famous one, the Shem Adnos. We say afterwards Elokeinu, the Shem Elokus. We have on every mezuzah, we have either a shin, or sometimes shin, then dalid, yud. And perhaps the most common printed name of Hashem is none of those, is really yud, yud. Are all those shemos? Are all those names of Hashem? In the second part, what's in a name? The Gemara seems to address this. Says the Gemara, if I'm in the middle of writing Hashem's name, and I don't complete it, what's left, the partial name of Hashem, might also have the halachos of Shemos. Says the Gemara, source 4, Tan Rabbanan, Kasav, Aleph, Lamed, Me Elokim. Person who writes just Aleph and Lamed from the name Elokim, in reality he meant to write a long name, but just by stopping after two letters, one's left with another name, the name of Kel. Or Yud Kei Mehashem. A person wants to write the most famous name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but one stops short after Yud Kei. So even though her intent to write Yud Kei Vav Kei wasn't fulfilled, but she's left with Yud and Kei. Yud and Hei itself is a short name of Hashem, the name Ka. Says the Gemara, those two names as well, albeit the fact that one's intention was not fulfilled, Harezeh Eino Nimchak. One can't erase that, because it's a shorter name of Hashem. What about on the other hand, says the Gemara, Shin Dalid, Mishakai. What if you stopped writing the name Shakai, and you're left with just the Shin and Dalid? Is that the name of God? No, Shin Dalid is not the name of Hashem. Aleph Dalid, from the name of Adnos, just Aleph Dalid, from the name Aleph Dalid and Nun Yud, says the Gemara, also is different than the first two, kel and ka. Sadi beis, person wants to write just sadi and beis, mitzvachos. But person just writes the first two letters without continuing, harei ze nimchak. Those may be erased. Because those are not names of God at all. So the Gemara, the way we have it, delineates a very important criterion for what it means to be the name of Hashem. It might be that you had intended to write A and you wrote B, but it has to be that the B that you wrote could be in of itself a name of Hashem. Says the Gemara, Aleph Lamed, Kel, or Yud and K, Ka, since they exist in of themselves as names of Hashem, those are Shemos. But if I stop short a name which has no meaning of itself, for example, the Aleph Dalet in Hebrew can mean a spring, Aid is a spring. Aleph Dalet has no connection to the name of Aleph Dalet and Nun Yud, that's not considered Shemos. That's the way the Gemara says it, according to our understanding. The text that we have. Before we do any further, what would you think then about the name Yud and Yud, printed in most of the room? Is that name of Hashem? So we're so taught, probably from nursery, kindergarten, when we first start reading, that Yud Yud is the most common name of Hashem. But in reality, that was invented hundreds of years ago by printers. There's no name Yud Yud. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Art Scroll now, every time they write the name of Hashem, always writes the name of Hashem Yud Chei Vav Chei, just without Nekrudos, I think. They almost never use the name Yud Yud, if I'm not mistaken. Because in reality, Yud Yud is a printer's representation of the name of Hashem. Where does it come from? It used to be the name Yud Yud was not printed the way we have it, just Yud Yud, with the Nekrudos. The Nekrudos are the name of Yud Chei Vav Chei, but Yud Yud used to be printed Yud, Yud with a Vav on top. What's the gematria of Yud, Yud, Vav? 10, 10, 6 is 26. The exact same is the name Yud, K, Vav, K. Yud, K, Vav, K was 26. It was the printer's way of writing a name which is not Hashem's name, represents Hashem's name, but we became so accustomed to seeing it that we connected perhaps more than any other name with Hashem's name. But is that considered real Shemos? It's not really Hashem's name. So this was a discussion which developed already in Tosfos. Tosfos does not talk about the name Yud Yud, but Tosfos lays the groundwork for a further discussion about this topic. Because Tosfos had a different text than the one we have in front of us as far as the names of Hashem. We already drew a major distinction between the names Yud, K, and Aleph Lamed, which are in of themselves names of Hashem, and names which are not names of Hashem, even though if you continue they would be names of Hashem. But in source 5, Tosfos quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel that had a different text than the Gemara. Based on his text, there's a tremendously different understanding and approach. Source 5, the Perish Rabbeinu Chananel Garas, in the text of Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the Rishonim that Tosfos quotes, he had the following way of reading the Gemara. He had a different text. Aleph Dalet min Hashem, Aleph Dalet from the name of Hashem, Eino Nimchak, may not be erased, even though Aleph Dalet itself is not the name of Hashem. Still, Aleph Dalet may not be erased. But says the Tosfos, I don't understand. Rabbeinu Chananel himself agrees that Sadi Beis from Tzvakos or Shin Dalet from Shakai may still be erased. So why does Rabbeinu Chananel tell us that in his variant reading of the Gemara, it said the name of Aleph Dalet itself, even though it's not a complete name of Hashem, it's a partial name of Hashem, may still not be erased? Says Tosfos, stripping to the bold at the end of source 5, Mishum d'shem ha-miyuchad hu yesh l'ha-chemir bo yoser. Says Tosfos, you know the pshat? It's because in reality, the name of Aleph Dalet doesn't represent Hashem's name fully. But since it's part of the most common used name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Adnus, even though in reality it's not a name of Hashem itself, Aleph Dalet doesn't mean anything. But since it's a partial way of writing the most common name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet and Nun Yud, we have special reference for it anyway. Mishum, to shame ha-miyuchad hu, since it's the most common special name, yesh v'hachmir bo yosir, we're more machmir. Correct, absolutely. But since the intent is to write, one's intent was to write the name of Hashem, then even though it's only a partial name, in fact, your question would really apply any time a person wrote Aleph, Dalet, and Nun, it could mean Adoni. But since the intent is to write the name of Hashem, that's enough. And the unique approach here is that even just the Aleph, Dalet would be enough as well. Before we go on, what's the official policy here? Every year it changes. As far as questions. Nachama, questions during the shiur, okay? Better up with one more, then we'll take a question after. So for sure, intent definitely is a major issue, and we'll talk about that even more afterwards. The intent, in fact, sometimes we have even the name Aleph Lamed Hey Yud Mem does not refer to God altogether. So definitely intent is an important part. But here, even if the intent is to write the name of Hashem, even if the intent would be to write the name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet, according to the prevalent text in the Gemara, is irrelevant. But Rabbi Nachmanel says, Aleph Dalet, since that's your intent, is a problem even if you truncate the writing. Based upon this, the Truma Sadeshin, one of the late Rishonim, Rav Yisrael Isherlin, has an unbelievable chiddush based upon Rabbi Nachmanel that says that anything which is uniquely relegated to the name of Hashem, which is most commonly used, we must give specific reverence to. Says Truma Sadeshin, Surah 6, before the bold, Vasher Sha'alta, that that you asked, Imutar limchot, are you allowed to erase hanichtavim b'sidurim b'tfilos, that that's written in sidurim and tfilos, lists of prayers, hanishamim b'shnei yudin, was written with two yuds, vav al gabehen, the old way of writing it, two yuds and a vav on top, are you allowed to erase that? Says the Shema Sedeshin, two concerns. Number one, Baha Mistapitna, I have a suffix. I'm not sure. I'm hesitant. Number one, what could it be the Yud of Yud Yud Vav represents? It's possible, says the Shema Sedeshin, the Yud is the first of the four letters of Yud Tei Vav Tei. Maybe. And we already saw that if you're writing part of Hashem's name, it has a different halacha. Kevan Dezeh Hashem, Yud B'tchila, now in the bold, in the source 6, since this name Yud, in the beginning, Hainu Aschalas Shem HaMiyuchad, is the beginning of the unique name of Hashem, Tzitziva, so the way it's written, V'Avi Tumo Rosh HaTeva, it's the beginning of the word of Hashem's name, and therefore it should have specific reverence. We should have specific reverence. However, if you look carefully in the Gemara clearly said, if the word has no meaning in of itself, there's no concern. We already saw that Yud, in theory, even if it would be part of Yud, K, Vav, K, only has significance if it's Yud and K. But Yud alone should not be significant. But says the Truma Sadeshin, the end of Source 6, Mitol Makom, Ula Yesh Lomar. Nevertheless, perhaps one should say, Tzohol Behu Shem, Hu Min Hashem HaMiyuchad B'Ktivaso, since it is part of the most prominent name of Hashem, most prevalent one, Yesh L'Hachmir Yoser, one should be more strict, based upon Rabbeinu Chananel. Because Rabbeinu Chananel said that even the letters Aleph Dalet, which don't necessarily have meaning as far as the name of Hashem, since they're part of the most common name of Hashem, we're more strict. And therefore, says the Shema Sedeshin, maybe Yud, Yud, and Vav on top, even though in reality, don't spell out the name of Hashem. They only represent it. Since they represent the most common name of Hashem, according to Rabbeinu Chananel that said that Aleph Dalet has a very specific halacha, even though the word itself does not spell out the name of Hashem, Yud, Yud would have the same status. And therefore, according to the Shema Sedeshin, Yud, Yud, the way we have it in the Siddur, even without the Vav, is meant to represent the name Adnus, the most commonly expressed name of Hashem. We should be more careful and not erase even Yud, Yud. This is the way that the Shulchan Aruch passes in Surah 7, says the Shulchan Aruch. The first approach is Vahashem Shekosin B'Sidurim, the names that are written in one's own Siddur. Beis Yudin, two yuds and another yud on top, or a vav on top, or an abbreviation on top, or nothing as we have it on top. Mutar lemochto, you're allowed to erase the name yud yud if it's necessary. So the mainstream approach in the Shulchan Aruch is one actually is allowed to erase the name yud yud that's not the name of Hashem. But, says the Shulchan Aruch further, mipiskei maharai, maharai as is Rabbi Yisrael Isserlin, the Trumas Hadeshin, from the writings of the Trumas Hadeshin that we just saw in Surah 6, Isa Litzarech Gadol. He says, only in case of great need, only in case of great need should one erase the name of Yud Yud, even though the name Yud Yud really is only representative, since it represents the most common name of Hashem that has special significance. We should be more machmir, more careful with that name. It's a good question. Bez Hashem, at the end of the year, we'll spend a few minutes talking about something which is close to my heart. My name is Shmuel. And there's a bit machokas in the world. How do you write the name Shmuel? Is Shmuel written Shin Mem Vav Aleph, then abbreviation? Lamed, you have some sort of strechel to separate between the Aleph and the Lamed. Just the Aleph with nothing. The name that I write it, just Aleph, Lamed. Oh, and many, many, many names. So if we have time at the end, we'll talk about that with Vod Yer Talmud, which is an interesting name, Eli. Bez Hashem, we'll talk about that as well. Very interesting point. But what we've seen so far is that any name which is in of itself the name of Hashem may not be erased min HaTorah. If it's a partial name which can also be erased, which in theory can spell the name of Hashem, that also can't be erased. And the chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, is anything which represents Hashem's most commonly used name also has special significance. Stop for a second and think. According to this Trumas Hadeshen, quote in the Shulchan Aruch, what should the halacha be if you write Baruch Atah Hashem with a hey and then an abbreviation symbol representing Hashem's name? We all know that's the most common way to avoid Hashem's name. Just write Hashem. But now think back for a second. According to the Trumas Hadeshen that says that anything which represents the most common name of Hashem has to be treated with specific reverence, even the name Hashem, even the letter Hey, is representing Hashem's name, perhaps even that may not be erased. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, this is an idea quoted in Source 8 in the Shulchan Aruch by the Piskei Tshuva, who summarizes many of the responsa about any specific topic. Says the Piskei Tshuva on the pages in the Shulchan Aruch, Source 8. The Chaim Tosef, a Sefer B'nei Yonah, he quotes the Sefer B'nei Yonah, a Sefer which is written for Sofrim, with a lot of halachos of Safros. The Chaim Osan HaShemos Shekosrim B'Sidurim. Similarly, those names written in Sidurim. Beis Yudin, two Yuds. Oh, hey, just the hey, Vidomehem. Or similar things to that. If it represents Hashem's name, l'simin sheshayich shem Hashem, as a symbol that the name of God is supposed to be there, lo yimachtam, you should not erase them ki mitzarech gadol, unless there's a great need. Even though hey is just the letter of the alphabet, since the intent is to replace Hashem's most commonly used name, that itself must be treated properly. Tremendous chiddush. Quote in the Shulchan Aruch. Even hey, Baruch Atah Hashem, is going to have halachos that one should not erase unless there's a great need. There's room to be lenient if one really needs to, because it's still not the approach accepted across the board. But Shulchan Aruch says, unless one is really pressed to do so, one should avoid even erasing a hey, which is meant to represent Hashem's name. It's better, I think, if we just keep the questions till the end, just to make sure. When I first started giving shiurim for Midrash Yom Rishon, people asked questions, which I enjoyed. And then a few years ago, someone came up with the idea that it's better to have it. I think one of the people in the shiur came up with the idea. So this is my first time giving the shiur this year. I'm not sure what this year's protocol is, but it's better if we keep it till the end. This way we can make sure to finish on time. If you look on the very cover of this Maamar Kamos, the very top, there's three little letters. Beis Samach Dalet. Just the Atta Deshmaya. They're there, I'm sure, since Midrash Yom Rishon and Kol Yom Rishon were started, even before the Arbisfelds endowed it so graciously. And it always says Beis Samach Dalet. What does that stand for? Just the Atta Deshmaya. Among those that write letters which show Hashem's Hashkafa, divine intervention in everything we do, on top of letters or printed items, there are two different approaches. Some write Beis Samach Dalet, like we have here. Others write Beis Hei, Baruch Hashem. Some write Beis Ayin Hei, Bezuz Hashem. Is there a reason to say, if one's going to write it, is there a reason to write Beis Samach Dalet, B'siyat Tishmaya, more than Beis Hei or Beis Ayin Hei? This is a question posed to the great genius, the Rogachev Ragon. In pre-war Europe, he lived in Rogachev, then in Dvinsk, he was a tremendous, tremendous genius. And often, he used to write, people used to try to challenge the Rogachever, who was such a phenomenal genius, about anything and everything under the sun in Halacha. And often they used to write postcards to him, or letters to him in Halacha, and he used to respond in a very, very terse fashion on postcards back. And there are printed volumes of these short letters that were written by the Rogachever about all different topics in Halacha. Someone once asked him, can you write Beis Hei on the top of a letter? And the Rogachever, source 9, the Tzapnas Paneach, responded, he thinks there's another reason to say there's a problem. The reason is, when you write Beis Hei, what are you really writing? What does the Hei represent? Hashem represents, like I would have thought, Hashem, Hei Shin Mem, Baruch Hashem. But he says maybe the name, the letter Hei, as the translation seems to say, represents one of the four letters of Hashem's name. It's a short way of writing Hashem's name. We took one of the four letters. There's no way to really prove one or the other. But it says it's the Tzapnas Paneach in the bold. Os achas min Hashem imotru limchok. There's a discussion if one letter of Hashem's name may be erased. Lachain, therefore, tzarech lizayir. You should be careful. Shaluch tov tevas Baruch Hashem. You shouldn't write Beis Hei Baruch Hashem al Rashay Mechtavim on the top of letters. A letter, let's say a letter which is meant for secular purposes, which a person's going to throw out afterwards. If you write Beis Hei Baruch Hashem, he's concerned maybe the Hei is one of the four letters in Hashem's name, and therefore a person should treat it with reverence and not throw it out. Perhaps from this comes the minhag to write Beis Samach Dalet, B'siyat D'Shmaya, which means with the help of heaven is not Hashem's name, it means the help of heaven in general. So therefore, it would be enough to write B'siyat D'Shmaya. But many disagree with this Rogachever, they point out, no, the name, the words Beis Hei means Baruch Hashem, just means Hashem, the name. It's not referring to Hashem's name, it's not one quarter of Hashem's name. Either way, that's an approach the Rogachever suggests, perhaps that's the minhag of writing Beis Samach Dalet instead of Beis Hei. What we've seen so far is that the names of Hashem that are specifically Hashem's name may not be erased according to biblical prohibition. Part of Hashem's name depends. If it's its own name of Hashem, it has the same halachos. If it's not, then it should be erased. Except, according to Rabbi Hananel, quoted by the Pislei Tshuva, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, Shema Sedeshen, Pislei Tshuva, quote the halacha that say that if it represents the most commonly used name of Hashem, Adnus, then even part of it should not be erased. This seems to be the approach of the Rogachever as well, that says that's the reason for not writing Beis Hei on the top of secular letters. Once we've determined what the names of Hashem are, let's now take it to the next level. Most of what we call Shemos don't have Hashem's name. They have maybe texts from Chumash, texts from Navi, texts from a Gemara, wisdom of Chazal, of the sages, but not necessarily Hashem's name. Are those really Shemos? Well, if you think about it, the word Shemos means names, and there are no names. But we're all used to treating those with respect as well. Where does that come from? In source 10, the Rambam tells us that, albeit the fact that min haTorah, the only shemos are God's names themselves, midrabanan Chazal extended this to many other aspects of sacred literature. Source 10, Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24 books of Tanakh, Kulan, all of them, Uperushehen, even just their explanations, Rashi, for example, Uveorein, and their commentaries. Also, Asarfam was not allowed to burn them. It was a common method of disposing of paper in those days was to burn them. Ola Abdam, or to destroy them, Biyad, directly. Fama Abdan Biyad, the person destroys them directly. Makan Oso, Makas Mardus. One gets rabbinic lessons. Makas Mardus are reserved for a person who violates the prohibition in Midrabanan. Min haTorah, it's actual names. Midrabanan, anything holy. Any of the 24 books of Tanakh, any commentary, even if they don't quote the psukim themselves, anything of Torah origin must be treated with the same respect. According to this, we know that my mitros to dovos chumash on all of Tanakh must be treated properly, even if after 120 years it's used very, 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 very well and can't be used by anyone else, it has to be treated properly. And unfortunately, Lahavdil, let's say if in Sidate or in Far Rockaway there are chumashim that were totally destroyed, that the names of Hashem may not be noticed, but there are psukim there, even though the psukim don't have names of Hashem, I have to treat them properly as well. Although it's midrabanon, not min haTorah, the same halacha seems to apply. But there's a very interesting caveat which is conveyed by the Gemara in Source 11. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us of situations where people unfortunately had fires in their houses on Shabbos. It was very common, more common than hopefully it is nowadays, to have fires in general because there was no organized fire department. Houses were made of thatched wood and much less fireproof materials. And the halacha is that if a person is in a house that's on fire, one can't put out the fire on Shabbos. That's a halacha, unless there's a case of pituach nefesh, unless one's life is at stake. If one can easily leave the house, one has to let the house burn. One's allowed to ask Goyim perhaps to put it out, but one can't have Jews put out a fire. That's one of the 39 malachos, mechabe. One can't put out fire on Shabbos. However, one should use one's brains and try to get rid of anything from the fire, remove anything from the fire that one can. What about if you're in a community that has an Erev, but the Erev is down? So a community that you could in theory carry on Shabbos, but this Shabbos you can't because there's no Erev. Leaving out the details of Masechet Shabbos and Hotzah, the halacha of carrying, there are some areas which should never have an Erev, Rosh HaRabim. Rosh HaRabim is an area which can never be contained in an Erev. There you can't carry min haTorah. But if your community has an Erev, that means that it's presumed to be only Rosh HaRabim Midrabanan. Even if you carry there on Shabbos, you're only in violation of Midrabanan. And the Erev gets rid of that problem. There's no Erev this Shabbos, so if you would carry things out from your house, you'd be in violation of Hotzah on Shabbos, carrying on Shabbos, Midrabanan. So Chazal, the very same Chazal that said you can't carry in certain areas Midrabanan, relaxed that prohibition when there was great loss. What's great loss? Great loss means, Chas v'Shalom, if there's a Sefer Torah in your house, which is being burned, you're allowed to violate the rabbinic principle of carrying in that area on Shabbos and take it out. But says the Gemara, not everything is included. What about a sitter? Says the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Source 11, Habrachos, the Achimeyan, lists of brachos, let's say a sitter, or amulets that have psukim in them. Af al pi sheyesh bem osil shel shem, even if there are some letters of Hashem's name, u'men yonos harbe, sheba Torah, many Torah concepts, ein matzilin osan mipnei adleita. Those may not be removed from the fire. It only means major works of Torah. But sidurim, says the Gemara, cannot be taken out, even though they might have some parts of Hashem's name, because midrabanan, you can't violate Shabbos for them. Sefer Torah is enough, maybe a chumash, but not a sitter. In a fascinating commentary, Rashi in Source 12 says, what does it mean, what's a sitter? What is it that if it wouldn't be Shabbos would have the status of shemos we just can't violate Shabbos for? Says Rashi, habrachos. Matbea brachos shetabu chachamim. A list of brachos. Even if there's no name of Hashem. A list of brachos. Shiron Shmon Esrei. If you have a siddur without Hashem's name in it, that's also shameless. It's just that you can't say that on Shabbos if God forbid there's a fire in a person's house. But says Rashi, quoting, enhancing the Gemara, that a siddur without one of Hashem's names is also considered shameless. It says brachos. That's enough. Says the Tashbeit, one of the Rishonim, based on this Gemara, a tremendous chumrah for shemos. So far we see shemos are names of Hashem. And Psukim, Tisvei Kodesh, commentaries. Even Rashi says, list of brachos, sidurim. Says the Tashbeit, in the next source 13, Achash and Isparish Zeh, after we explain that, Yeshli Lefarish, I will tell you, the Lav Dafka Tisvei Kodesh Hashleimim, not only the 24 books, Ela filu brachos utmein v'haftoros v'sifri adados, even brachos or amulets or haftorah books that are just partial, or books of lore sifri adados medilos shekos melutinokos lislamed. Even if I write a few psukim to teach a first grader, that's also shameless. Even if it's not in Hashem, kulan asurin l'avdon biyad. Those all may not be erased directly. So the Tashbeit is really expanding shemos to what we usually presume. Almost anything of real Jewish content, whether it's the name of Hashem, used for Torah content, all that is shemos. Even if I make it to teach a child, it must be treated with respect as well. Because of this halacha, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Source 14, there's a very unique way we treat a Sefer Torah that's not usable. What do we do with a Sefer Torah that's not usable? We bury it. Geniza, we bury it. In some shuls, they actually put it in Geniza, which was not even burial. They put it in an attic to be stored for a long time. For those that are involved in live burial science, that's a very important relic of the past, which can be explored. And in general, the Geniza, Shulchan Aruch says, is usually buried. The minhag is to bury it near a Talmud Chacham. We specifically bury the Sefer Torah, which can't be used, unfortunately, the same time the Talmud Chacham is buried, often, for Tvura. In fact, some of the custom to take Shemos and put them, to inter them when a person is interred. But the Shulchan Aruch tells us a very interesting minhag. Source 14. Sefer Torah Shabala, Sefer Torah which is worn out, Manichen Osan, we place it, B'tli Cheres, in earthenware vessels. Or Manich, the Gonzen Osa, B'tevra Tamal Chacham. We bury it with a Tamal Chacham. Why B'tli Cheres? Why do we put a Sefer Torah in pottery? Because it's porous. Ironically though, the Mepharshim points out it's only semi-porous, which to an extent is helpful. It's helpful for exactly the opposite reason, ironically, which is, although we're burying a Sefer Torah, we want to demonstrate that parting is such sweet sorrow. We'd really rather not bury it. We'd rather it be around for us to study, to learn from, and to respect. So we bury it, and we put it in cheres, because the cheres, at least, will last for a long time. And therefore, although it's buried, we hope it only very gradually will disintegrate. Cheres is specifically something which can be part of the ground, but it should take a long time to show how we respect the Sefer Torah. We really hate to be doing what we have no choice to do. Based upon that, one of the contemporary Svarim quotes from Rav Eliashiv Zatzal. Rav Eliashiv said that perhaps nowadays it's better to bury a Sefer Torah in plastic, because plastic lasts for a long time. There's no halacha that it must be cheres, must be earthenware. It's supposed to represent the fact that we really don't want to part with the Sefer Torah. And maybe nowadays plastic is better, because it doesn't disintegrate for a long time. Very interesting fact. But in Source 14, at the end, the very last words, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, as the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch enhances, not only Sefer Torah, but even Huadin Svarim. Similarly, all Svarim we talked about, Sidurim, Chumashim, all Svarim as well, although it's not a prohibition in the Torah, often Midrabanan, those may not be burned, those must be treated with reverence. This is the common custom for Shemos. Shemos, all Shemos, are treated with respect, treated properly, they're put in cheres or buried. taken care of properly. Before we conclude the section, one might say, what about this? What about something which was printed on a computer? Laser printer. It wasn't written by anyone. No one painstakingly wrote these words. I made a Microsoft Word document on my computer. I then sent it to CJS, who made copies and formatted it all on computer. It didn't exist at all. Is that the same? Maybe this was never written. This is not shameless altogether. The Achronim, though, frown on that suggestion. And the person on the Marmakom, source 15, who I have summarizing this, is the Shubas Ar Yitzchak. Shubas Ar Yitzchak is Rav Yitzchak Abadi, a very big Talmud Chacham, a renowned posek, who has many approaches to halacha which are very unique. Many years ago he was a posek in Lakewood, then he moved to Eretz Israel, and he's known for having unique approaches in many areas of halacha. One of his unique innovations that Rabbi Abadi came up with a few years ago was that he realized it's very, very expensive to write Sefer Torah. Thousands and thousands of dollars. So he came up with a halachically sanctioned, in his opinion, way of making Sefer Torah with silk screen. Silk screen, when you hear the word silk screen, what do you usually think of? T-shirts. T-shirts are silk screen usually. You can print, but art maybe for those that are more artistic. But what is silk screen? So silk screen basically is, it's a way of making a stencil and having a stencil which is then inked, and you can then produce many things easily by using the stencils. So if I would take, if you make the idea very simple, so the stencils that you have, perhaps you like to play with when you're growing up, little stencils that sometimes you can write Aleph Bezer, ABC, or sometimes stores in Washington Heights might use those for signs. So those stencils, if you'd have a stencil that said Bereshis Bara Elokim, then according to Rabbi Abadi, that is L'chatchila, a way to write a Sefer Torah. Now, it's expensive to write the stencils, but once you make the stencils, the price of Sefer Torah will drop tremendously. Tefillin, mezuzos. Many have disagreed with his approach, and it's a very interesting topic in its own right. But in one of the tshuvos about silk screen Sefer Torah and silk screen Sefer Kodesh, he writes that Maisa Hatzilum, in source 15, everyone agrees that copying something, Pshita L'Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, She'enu Derech Siva B'chval, that's not considered writing. That's not good enough for a Sefer Torah. If I would print a Sefer Torah on my computer, that's not a Sefer Torah, even if it's on parchment. El Shavadai, however, everyone agrees, She'inyan Kedusha Sasfarim, in terms of having sanctity, Bavadai Sheish Bahem, that has Kedusha, which is why even printed materials that we have are shameless. So we've seen from the beginning of the Shir so far how only the name of Hashem, till contemporary times, even things printed on a computer, if they have a Torah content, psukim, names of Hashem, or even a Torah idea, are considered shameless. However, there are two leniencies that exist in the postim as far as what shameless are. This is a very, very, very famous halacha. What's the minimum size of a pasuk to be considered shameless? Most common answer is three letters. Two, four, three in the middle. So, most common answer is three letters. Not necessarily the right answer. That's what I think most people would say. Three letters is considered a pasuk. Three words. Three words considered a pasuk. Three words. Three words considered a pasuk. Pasuk is three words. Where does this come from? Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch Zir Halachos Psukim, Halachos of Shemos, what's considered a pasuk. But this comes from halacha as far as how to write. The halacha is if I'm writing Sava Shuris, if I'm writing real Sefer Torah text on a piece of paper, I can't write a pasuk without sirtut, without storing the line beforehand. If I write real Ashuris, real Torah script, I have to store it beforehand. In fact, if you look carefully in the Sefer Torah, every Sefer Torah is written with storing on top. Make sure the lines are written properly. It's stored with a metal instrument to make sure that there's no line that you could see with ink, but it's specifically stored, it's engraved. Even if I write on a piece of paper, I can't write without storing if I write Savashuris. What does it mean to write a pasuk? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Asur Lichtov Gimel Tevos. Three words. That's enough. But says the Shulchan Aruch, what if I'm writing a pasuk because I'm just writing it as an expression? Let's say I write, how are you? Baruch Shem Yom Yom. I thank Hashem each day. I'm not really intending to quote a pasuk. I'm just saying, I thank Hashem each day. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's not considered a pasuk. So we see the idea of intent is very important. If I'm intending to write a pasuk, even three words, that's a pasuk. If I intend to write less, if I'm not intending to write the pasuk, that's not considered shemos. So we see how intent is so powerful. The Pesach Tshuva 17 codifies this halacha as well. But turning to the next page, top of the back page, some of the Mepharshim suggest perhaps the bare minimum to be considered shemos is not only three words, but perhaps even less, even more. Because the Gemara Maseches Shabbos says, what if I, Rachmana Litzlan, let's say in the hurricane brutally attacked some shuls. What if a Sefer Torah was terribly water damaged, Rachmana Litzlan, and it's almost completely erased? All that's left in it are 85 letters in the entire Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Ba minei Rav Huna bar Chalav Rav Nachman, Sefer Torah she'in bo l'lapchit shmonim v'chamesh osios. If there's less than 85 letters, ein matzil. In the last two words in that Gemara, we don't save it. That's not considered Sefer Torah. Says the Tashbetz in source 19, it's possible that any text that's not 85 letters long is not considered shemos. So leniency number one, if I write a pasuk, even if it's more than three words, if it's less than 85 letters, according to Tashbetz, perhaps that is not considered shemos. Of course, God's name is always shemos. But if it's less than 85 letters long, according to some opinions, that's not shemos. Now let's bring it home to the contemporary issues of shemos that applies with magazines and other issues, quite literally, that we have all the time. In Europe, when printing was much more of an asek, much more of an ordeal, people wrote svarim by hand, they sent it to the printer. The printer then offset, set the type and offset it, and sent it to the person who wrote it in order to proofread it. In those days, there were many, many, many drizim, many mistakes that existed in the dialys. So dialys were given to the author. Author had to first check it. The author knew that this is going, there's no way this resembles at all what I really wrote. Then the author would write, make all the emendations, send it back, it would keep on going, yo-yoing back and forth until they eventually got a sefer, which was pretty much perfect. But that left people with many, many dialys. What did they do with all these dialys? They knew whenever you write a sefer, there are going to be many imperfect things that are printed before the final sefer is made. What do you do with all those galleys? Not only is it an issue of space, unfortunately, with the price of paper having been very expensive, the Goyim became aware of the fact that Jews had all this paper that was not being used, and often used it for inappropriate purposes. They took it sometimes to wrap meat, wrap fish. They saw the dialys, they knew the Jews had no use for them, and they did things that were horrible to dialys of Torah. Says the Ein Yitzchak, none other than Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the namesake of Yeshiva University, Yeshivas Ben Yitzchak Elchanan, in a tshuva, which is echoed by the Netziv in his tshuvas Meshiv Davar in pre-war Europe, that the halakha the Rambam tells us, it's in the Rambam earlier on the page, the very top of the second page, source 10, what if I have a text printed by a non-Jew? Or a Jew, unfortunately, who is an apikoros. A person who knows full well what the text means, but he doesn't believe in God. Says the Rambam, a Sefer Torah shekasvo min, a Sefer Torah written by an apikoros, has no status of a Sefer Torah whatsoever. In fact, if you would go down the block where there's a Jay's Witnesses center and they would print something for you, they would print the Old Testament for you, it's a mitzvah to burn it. Says the Rambam, mitzvah to burn it, to get rid of the name of those that unfortunately blaspheme Hashem's name. So we see from that Rambam two unbelievable halachos. Number one, if it's written by a person who does not have the intent, proper intent, doesn't believe in God, it's not considered sacred at all. Not only that, in that situation, if it's written inappropriately, you should actually get rid of it. Says the Yitzchak, now back to verse 20, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, Spector, Mashma, we see from there, the Tolzman, Shalot Kosvam B'Kedusha, as long as you didn't write them with the intent to sanctify that text, Zulchal Aleihem Din Tisvei Kodesh. It's not considered Tisvei Kodesh. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, we see from the Rambam that part and parcel of making Shemos is intent. It's not enough to have a Sefer Torah which looks like a Sefer Torah. If it's written by a person who is irreligious, who doesn't believe in God, Apikores, let's say, says the Rambam, that has no Kedusha whatsoever. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan with a big jump, if I write galleys, which I know cannot be used, because it's absolutely understood there's going to be mistake upon mistake upon mistake in the galleys, there's no problem with Shemos, with those galleys, because those were never intended to be sacred. However, says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, it's still not right to just obliterate them entirely. You can't just throw them in the garbage. You should get rid of them in a proper way. For example, he suggests private burnings, maybe even having a non-Jew do it. This way it's not considered bizayon. Maybe take the cremated remains and put them with a Talmud Chacham. Treat them with Kedusha. Show how much we revere this text. But strictly speaking, this is not Shemos. And the jump here of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan is, he says, anytime something is printed with the intent not to sanctify it, although it looks like Shemos, it's not Shemos whatsoever. This halacha seems to have its sources in the Rambam, source 21. The Rambam writes, Haluchos, what about blackboards? If I write something on a blackboard for a kid to learn, and I know I'm going to erase it, I may erase it as well. Again, we see how intent is part and parcel of Shemos. This is marshaled again in verse 22, just in the bold, by Yitzchak Elchanan. Al-Korchach Muchach, the sphere lay, it seems clear the Rambam holds that a blackboard as well, I don't have intent to sanctify it, that is not Shemos. Rav Shechter has in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav, once a Rebbe in Maimonides, or a teacher in Maimonides, was illustrating the names of Hashem and wrote on the blackboard, Yud, K, Vav, K, and they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, who was the postdoc of Maimonides in Boston, what to do with that blackboard. Rabbi Soloveitchik was not very pleased with that teacher, as well as with the situation. I think they had to take the blackboard down, he suggested. But according to Ein Yitzchak, that would not be a problem. Because according to Ein Yitzchak, since it was not intended to be sanctified, it's not considered Shemos altogether. This is a major, major kula, perhaps, for periodicals. Leaving out source 23 for 1 second, the Sefer Dinzei Kodesh in source 24 quotes from Rav Eliashiv based upon Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Be'en Yitzchak Or Chaim Hei, that very tshuva that we saw, says Rav Eliashiv, newspapers, magazines, periodicals are meant to be read and disposed of. And therefore, one might argue, the intent of every publisher is never to give it the status of Shemos, because they know that it's going to be destroyed. And therefore, even though it's written by Orthodox people, they have no intent to make it Shemos, therefore, it's going to be much more of a relaxed status. This is connected with back to source 23 now, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that even Shemos that might be able to be disposed of should not be disposed of in a way that's disparaging. What should you do? He doesn't say this directly. The best thing we would say nowadays, those that live in New York and some places in New Jersey, would put it in the recycling bin. Because recycling is very, very bakavadik. There's nothing wrong with recycling. It's not put with tomato peels, with tomatoes and banana peels and leftover oranges and shalom from last night's, from yesterday's Suda. It's put with other papers. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in source 23, Mutar la'anichan bakelim shenosim shem anir shitchu misham lamakum shimchu v'yavadu shem haksav. You can put them in a place where they're eventually going to take them to erase them, what we call recycling. So the consensus here in Surahs 22, 23, and 24, quoted by Rav Yashiv, is perhaps if one has no choice, one may rely on this Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, even for newspapers, which are indeed meant to be read as Torah, but since they're only temporarily imbued with this status of Kedusha, there's really no Kedusha. It's only temporary. One may be able to put them in the recycling bin. Tremendous, tremendous kula. This would not apply necessarily to a Siddur or a Chumash or something that has the name of Hashem, but newspapers and periodicals, Rav Yashiv says, perhaps if your intent is never to sanctify them, even if you don't know what the publisher's intent is, you can presume publishers know you're going to dispose of this, it's enough to put them in the recycling bin if there's no choice. Now, it's important to realize there's only a situation with the edit. If you have no choice, if you can easily bury it, of course, miyos tov al tifri ra. It's always best to strive for the ideal. But at tremendous financial cost, or institutional cost, or some other situation of major inconvenience, then you're allowed to put them in the recycling bin in order to take care of them in a respectful way, which is not Geniza. The last source for today, source which Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, in general, the less one can create shamos, the better. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, it was his custom not to write the words kol sason, kol simcha, kol chason, kol kala on wedding invitations, since that's a partial quote from a pasuk. Try not to create shemos. If one does, one might be able to put them in the recycling bin if necessary, but it's always best to strive for the ideal, not to write psukim if one does not need to altogether. Just to review what we've discussed today, we had the privilege of talking about the halachos of shemos. The first halacha we saw is that shemos themselves are literally Hashem's name. Hashem's name is an isur min haTorah to erase. What's in a name? What does it mean exactly? Any name which is partially Hashem's name, which is in of itself a short name, is also a problem. But the Achronim suggest even things which represent the primary name of Hashem, even a hay perhaps, if it's representing that, should be treated with reverence as well, because it represents the name of Admos. We then expanded that in part 3 to Tisvei Kodesh, even to anything which is no name of Hashem, if it's Pesukim or Torah thoughts altogether, that itself to be treated properly. Even if we went as far as in source 15, the Ar Yitzchak, that says even things that are printed all have the status of shemos, like is usually presumed. Svarim, we had a leniency as far as svarim, although some say it's a pasuk or a sefer is only if it has 3 words. Some suggest the tashbeitz only if it has 85 complete letters. If not, it's not shemos altogether. And then the major kula as far as periodicals. As far as periodicals, again, it's always best to put shemos in Geniza if one can. Where Rav Yashiv himself writes, based upon the Rambam, as well as Ritzot Elchanan, that if one has no choice, one might presume that periodicals themselves are not imbued with Kedusha whatsoever. And therefore, if one has no choice, when I put them in a respectful way, in the recycling bin or some other way, which is going to then have someone dispose of them in a proper way, for the Eved, in order to take care of them appropriately. Any questions from all those that were? Okay, please, yes. Fantastic question. We presume that nowadays, since in reality what creates the name of Hashem or anything on a computer screen, even on a Kindle, which is a different technology, is LED, or it's really a combination of tiny little lights that are lit up. It's not really existing, and therefore it's okay. One may do so. Right. It's a very good question. It would really depend. The best thing is to have in mind, the CJF should have in mind, that they're not really giving this any Kedusha. It's being used for one shear. I'm sure everyone wants to cherish it forever and ever, but in theory, it's not really being used. It's only being used for one shear, and therefore, it shouldn't have Kedusha. That would be the most ideal thing to have, and then your problem doesn't exist. But if it would have Kedusha, then to do that to a name is preferable. It's preferable to avoid that. Please. Depends who writes it. Right. If it had, in Sefer in English, it would have the same status. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from the Yeshiva, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, used to be makbid not even to go into the bathroom with money. the name of God on it. But that is a bit chumrah because that was not written by a Jewish person. It's not sanctified. It's, right, it's, right, exactly. Yes. Unfortunately.
So,
right. The best thing really to do is to have in mind for any teacher, anyone printing text, to have in mind that I'm using this temporarily, I'm not giving it Kedusha. Now, of course, it's still going to be used for Kedusha, the psukim that you learn have sanctity, but you should ideally have in mind that it's not having Kedusha, and then at least, if they do something inappropriate with it, at least you have that to rely on. And just as far as names are concerned, just one last point, and then we'll take any questions outside so we continue with the program. The status of names, we presume in reality, the Gemara says the name Shimshon. The Gemara thought the name Shimshon itself was really a kinoy of Hashem. It's a representative. The Gemara says it's not true, but the Gemara thought when it was a representative of Hashem's name, Shimshon, then one had to treat it properly. But then the Gemara says, no, it's not, therefore one does not need to treat the name Shimshon properly. But the Achronim suggest, based on that Gemara, we see that even the name Shmuel, or Azriel, that is the name of Hashem at the end, might need to be treated properly. Others say, no, my name is Shmuel. It has the name of Hashem, like we too often have the place in Eretz Yisrael, Beit El. Beit El might have a name which comes from Hashem's name originally, but right now it's secular, and therefore there's no need to treat it properly. Two different approaches. We'll continue. Anyone has questions, please feel free to discuss with me outside. Have a wonderful day. It's been a zechus to share Torah with you. We should all appreciate Hashem's name, and be zochah to learn as much Torah as we can.